it's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
You're talking absolute rubbish.
Absolute rubbish.
As long as I say we can persuade Willie to stay in Ireland, we'll stay in England.
TSI, get stuck in.
And here's a new steeplechasing star. It's Gallop Andersson, who gallops to glory in the Gold Cup.
That's probably the most ridiculous question
I've ever been asked. It is, I know, but I had to ask you.
No, you didn't have to ask me.
You're calling out prices. Bookmakers' prices on this channel, right? Yep. You couldn't have two bananas to a banana with the bookmakers.
Jumped in like a bag of hammers.
The racing is under such scrutiny.
If you don't like racing, go and watch Peppa Pig.
Welcome to the Final Frolen Podcast. I'm Emmett Kennedy, joined by my cousin, finally, for the first time on the show, William Kennedy. Welcome along to the Final Frolen Podcast.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me, cuz.
First bit of Russian disinformation and fake news. We're not related. Although, if we did some kind of BBC, who do you think you are type of, maybe we would actually be distant cousins in the background. How is retirement treating former jockey William Kennedy?
Second bit of Russian. I love it. Look, it comes to everybody, unfortunately. And the time seemed right at the time. Fast forward 6 months, part of me wished I didn't. But as my partner said, nobody was wanting you when you were riding. They're not going to want you now. So the idea of going back was quickly drenched.
Harsh. Harsh but fair,
yeah, but,
from your partner.
But very fair. But very fair, I have to say. So, yeah. But yeah, no, we're keeping nice and busy. Still probably haven't found what I'm going to do for the next 25 years, but keeping busy and keeping an ear to the ground for something to come my way.
Do you feel that that's something that should be done a bit better for jockeys? That when you're in the height of your career, Davey Russell talked about this, that he said he was going back for naps after riding out and that he should have been using that time to upskill. Was there ever encouragement given to you by the jockey club or the BHA or the PJA to upskill, or is it all about the race for jockeys and the day-to-day grind?
For a jockey, it's all about the race and the day-to-day grind. But it is there for you. We have Jets over here. It's a great organization. They are so willing to help you in anything you want to do. They pay for 80% of so much retraining that you want to do. And I think I definitely didn't utilize it enough through my career. I'm using it now to do a few things. I know some people who have used it. I know for a fact, I know Daryl Jacob actually got a HGV license through it. Whether he'll ever actually drive a truck for a living is another thing, but he has it there. There's other guys who've used it for different things. I probably should have utilized it better whilst I was riding. I think Davey Russell's point was really, really good. And I think you've got a similar setup in Ireland, but Jets is brilliant over here. And I'm a jockey, do a bit of jockey coaching now. And I really try and tell any young lad that they should use it as much as possible.
Excellent. Well, I'm really looking forward to getting your insight ahead of the weekend's racing. We can put your expertise to good use. And I hope this is something you'll be doing a lot more of as well, because you do have great insight into the game, and I'm looking forward to getting it for this weekend. First race we're going to talk about is the race that is the most talked about on X, formerly known as Twitter, Fighting Fifth. Is Constitution Hill actually going to run? Well, he's over the first hurdle. in that he's been declared. Is the race meeting going to go ahead? Might be another conversation as well. He is the superstar. He's going to take up a massive chunk of this market, rightly so. 9-2-1. He's unbeaten at Sandown. So is Love Envoy. Second in the Mayor's Hurdle. 7-1 shot for Johnny Burke and Harry Fry, making her seasonal debut. You wear it well. The Jack de Bromhead Mayor's Novice Hurdle winner has already had a run. She was a good winner of that. Gavin Sheehan, hero of last weekend in the Hennessy. For Jamie Snowden, a 14-1 shot. The old boy Shishkin, James Bowen on board, good friend of the show, 16-1. Goshen, if he causes the upset here, George Gorman will never shut up about this if Goshen manages to go and win. So that'll be a fun show on Monday if he does. And good old Not So Sleepy for Sean Bowen and Huey Morrison. What do you want to see from Constitution Hill on Saturday?
I think he'll win. I mean, I don't know what I want to see from him. I think the ground is going to be atrocious if it goes ahead at all. I think that the forecasts tonight and then again tomorrow night for Sandown is horrendous. So it's going to be very, very hard work. I think there's nothing in the race, barring incidents, that'll touch him, really. I mean, Love Envoy will love the ground, won't she? It's her first run of the year, and she'll, I'm sure, improve a little bit for it. But Harry will have her ready. But can she get close to him? No. Shishkin, with him, we just want to see him jump off, and I'm sure it's just a case of getting him a race course run into him before he has targets later in the season. But Nico, I'll keep it pretty simple and bounce out handy away and just get him into rhythm jumping. And I think it's a one horse race.
It does appear that way, to be fair. And for those who did take the twos on about him, you're kind of halfway there. We will see if he's going to be able to get the job done. In terms of Shishkin, you made a great point to me before this. Why not run him in the Tingle Creek? I was saying to George and to Katie on Monday, I have a feeling Shishkin's going to pull off an upset in this. It never dawned on me about him going for the Tingle Creek. Cheek pieces are left off, back over hurdles, James Bowen on board, a terrific jockey. What do you want to see from him?
Well, I don't think he can cause an upset, really. I think that'd be a huge surprise to me. But I was thinking this morning, and then I said it to you, and I kind of thought, why is he going back over hurdles? Why not the Tingle Creek? I think, look, he's not a 2 miler anymore, but he was. I think if he's over 2 mile, he'd a better chance of beating Edward Stone and John Bond than he does Constitution Hill. So why wouldn't you have gone for the Tingle Creek? I thought that this morning, and I said it to you, and you sort of half seemed to agree with me. What do you want to see from him? I think you just want to see him jump off and travel away around and finish his race off nicely, and then look to where you're going after that with him. But I don't expect to see anything spectacular from him. He probably jumped his fences better than he jumped his hurdles, so he's probably going to jump his hurdles maybe a little bit slow on Saturday, which again is another disadvantage in a grade one over hurdles. You know,
once he's made that mistake. Once he's played up at the start in the manner and in the way that he did, and maybe the blinkers just spectacularly backfired, but how much of his worry is it that he'll do it again with a view to him lining up in the King George?
Well, the worry is always going to be there, but he was just messing up at the start a little bit the last day. And there's a really interesting thing, which I don't know if I didn't personally see anybody talking about it, but I think it was 2 days before Ascot. Although I'm retired, I still get the odd email from the BHA to suggest any rule changes or anything like that. And there was a change to the rules where the starters are now not allowed to have a hunting crop at the start. Mm. Not that they ever use it for contact, but a crack of a whip behind a horse just often gets them going. And within 48 hours of that rule stopped, Shishkin whips around the start and doesn't go. And just wondered, really found that interesting, and I thought, I wonder if that hunting crop had been there, might he have jumped off?
So that's, it wouldn't be going near Shishkin, it's more about they smack it on the ground to make the noise, is that it?
Well, it's a hunting crop, so it makes a loud crack, yeah. When he was acting up a little bit, just backing off before they even lined up, I'm pretty sure 40 hours beforehand there'd have been a crack of that whip as the tapes went back.
Of the two mares, which one do you think is going to advance their mare's hurdle claims for the Cheltenham Festival more, Love Envoy or You Wear It Well?
Well, I don't think Love Envoy has to advance it. I think she's going to line up in the Mare's Hurdle pretty guaranteed. And you wear it well. I mean, I know that's her target, and the chances are she's going to line up in it too. But I suppose she's been on the upgrade, but she's got to take another step forward if she's going to put herself into the limelight for that race in March.
I spoke to Harry Fry about her recently enough. She posted a Racing Post rating in the Mare's Hurdle that would have been good enough to win 9 of the last 10 runnings. She just happens to bump in to the mighty Honeysuckle on that day. And by the way, if she had won, they probably would have had to have been escorted out of the place with security, because the emotions that were running high after Honeysuckle won, it was an incredible occasion. And if she had burst that bubble, that would not have gone down well. But she's going in very much underrated into the Mare's Hurdle this season. And initially, I was very much of the view that Love Envoy is just the one to be with. She sets the standard. Everyone has to get to her. The more I look at You Wear It Well, the more I'm starting to think this is the horse. Her or Ashura Diamond are the two that really we should be looking at a bit more. As much as I really like Lossy Mouth, You Wear It Well can improve an awful lot.
Yeah, I think Saturday will tell us a lot about that. I personally, if I had to nail my colours to the club now, I'd be with Love Envoy. I think if you were to ask me now which one I'd want to ride come March, it'd be Love Envoy. But we'll find out a lot more about where they are. And then obviously Ashura Diamond and Lossy Mouth, they won't meet till March. Love Envoy or Wear It Well won't meet them till March. So we won't know really, won't have anything to go on between them, but we will know more about where You Wear It Well and Love Envoy after Saturday, won't we?
Yeah, very much so. Straight forecast. Who finishes second to Constitution Hill? Or can anyone cause a major upset?
Oh, wow. That's a shout. I think Love Envoy.
Love Envoy for
the
exact
ground. I think Love Envoy will absolutely love the ground, yeah.
And she loves the track. She absolutely loves Sandown as well. I probably require medical attention. The men in white coats are probably going to come bursting through the door here any second and cart me off and just sedate me for a few weeks. I have a sneaky feeling Shishkin's going to run a major race here. And what I'm hoping James Bowen does is just bowl along in front. Soft, I know. Now that we're doing video, I can even see you just laughing away and trying to compose yourself.
Well, he won't bowl along in front, because he'll have to jump off, and he won't be trying to jump off from the front.
That's a good point. That's a very, very good point. And that would actually change how this race is going to play out in terms of the dynamics of it. The going from turf tracks is currently soft to heavy on the hurdle course. Chase course is soft, good to soft in places. This is the best horse Constitution Hill has faced so far. And he's not getting any younger. But if you were to just go on speed figures, although they are being compiled in very different races, his would be clear of Constitution Hill. So I think James will get a nice little rhythm out of him and be a good second. And maybe, if Constitution Hill isn't feeling it for some bizarre reason, maybe the old boy can cause a bit of an upset. But I like him an awful lot. Look, it's more than likely he's just going to be out there, get a nice little spin, and get him ready for the King George. Finally, in terms of the King George, that's a wide open market now, given what's gone on with Brave Man's Game. And I have no doubt he'll be cherry ripe on the day, but I have a slight doubt that Brave Man's Game is still the same horse he was last year. What do you think of Shishkin's King George prospects?
I'd be with him. I mean, I think he's got to have a chance. You want to see him really, I think he'll jump off and save it, but you kind of want to see him down to start on Saturday, really not walking around thinking about it, because he obviously had his issues. He's bounced back from them. And then obviously what happened at Ascot I don't think anybody saw that coming, but is he thinking about something would be the only thing. I think on Saturday, jumps off, goes around, doesn't matter where he finishes, and then I'd be keen for him to run a huge race in the King George.
It's funny, I can make a case for him beating Constitution Hill. I can make no case for him winning the King George. Can't see it. Now, if he bounces off in this race, if he does run a nice race, then I'd be very much back on track with him. He's just going to be a really short price for the King George. And you're getting 16 to 1 about him now. Shishkin should never be 16 to 1. It's a rare thing to be able to back a horse of his ability at that price. And that's the only thing that attracts me to this.
Yeah, that's an insult really, isn't it, to have him at 16 to 1 tomorrow?
It is.
Or Saturday, sorry.
Yeah, it is. Oh, Most people will listen to this on Friday. Don't worry, you're grand. It's too big a price, but even against Brave Man's Game, even though I'm concerned about how he's moving, and hopefully we'll get your thoughts about him on another show. I mean, if Jerry Kalam comes over, it's going to be a much trickier race. But that is a wide open contest. Very briefly, are we going to see Constitution Hill 2.0? Oh, we do love to hype these horses up. Will Mount, 11:35, the Betfair Claremont Novices Hurdle. It's a listed race, won 5 times in the last 10 years by Nicky Henderson, including with Constitution Hill when this was just a regular hurdle race before his victory resulted in it being upgraded to a listed. I don't really see any credible threat to him in the betting market. Ollie Murphy and Sean Bones, Booster Bob is a 3-to-1 shot. Nice horse. Don't think he can beat Will Mount. What's your take on the race?
Well, I agree with you, really. And it's a shame. There's 4 lining up and he doesn't really have anything to take him on. He was obviously a dual bumper winner, point winner, dual bumper winner, and then looked really impressive at Newbury last day. 13-length winner on the bridle, wasn't he? So, you just asked me before we started the podcast about our novices not really having anything to take them on, and then they get to Cheltenham, and it's a whole new step for them, and this is a one such point, isn't it, really?
Yeah, we're going to talk about a novice hurdle in Ireland a little bit later on in the show. There's a couple of novice hurdles to talk about. But those races have real depth to them. We'd like to think that those horses that we're going to talk about a little bit later on could someday be grade one horses. They're probably not going to be, but we don't like to admit that when they're novices. But those horses are big guns that are taking each other on very early. You've got multiple runners from Willie's Yard, multiple runners from Gordon's Yard, all taking one another on. That's not happening in the UK. And I think even the Jericho de Rapinay, who won the other day, like, I have no idea what he beat. No one does. I thought George's point about the fact that Paul Nicholls' horse tried to run out twice and isn't beaten that far back and forth, that would be a major concern about the strength of that form. And I haven't heard anybody else make that point. I thought it was an excellent point from George.
It was, yeah.
Meanwhile, in Ireland, a day later, Firefox beats Ballyburn. They could easily be 1-2 in the Ballymore or the Supreme, depending on which race the connections want to go for. They're definitely going for a grade one next. Jericho is going to line up in the nice novice hurdle on Boxing Day. St. Stephen's Day is like the first novice hurdle on the day. It's a race that Nicky Henderson's got a very good record in. Again, that won't be grade one class. And even the grade one label, that doesn't mean a whole lot at this stage of the season. I'd say Firefox and Ballyburn would have been probably 1-2 in the Royal Bond had they lined up in that race. The Irish horses, first of all, I think we have a better quality of horse. But secondly, they're actually gaining experience of taking on really high-class rivals. They're learning a lot in their races in England, and Nicky Henderson will forget more about training than I'll ever know. I keep saying that phrase. Nicky has an incredible record in the Supreme, and particularly with that kind of racehorse, speedy, two-mile, national hunt bred type, an endless amount of them that he turned into superstars. A few of them end up getting beaten in the Supreme. Gordon and Willie's and Henry's horses, they'll just be that little bit more streetwise, I think, and might have a class edge over a horse like him, who could be an absolute superstar. He could be the next John Bonn, but John Bonn was beaten in the Supreme, and so was Bouvader.
Yeah, but over here, they're just so keen to keep them away from each other, though. I mean, Gordon just loves to take Willie on.
Yeah.
And over here, Gordon loves to take Gordon on. Gordon will run 3 of his top ones and see which one is the best and leave poor old Jack saying, go on, Jack, you pick. but he loves to take Willie on also, and he's not afraid to take Henry on. And whereas over here, they'll really be just trying to stay away from each other, give their horse the easiest opportunity, and then we'll meet you in March. But when March comes, the Irish horses, like you say, are probably can be a bit more streetwise and a bit more battle-hardened.
Time discloses all. That horse might turn out to be an absolute superstar. I suspect there's a good few superstars in Ireland. And probably some that we haven't even seen yet.
Yeah, I'm not taking anything away from this horse. He looked really good. And he might look really good tomorrow again, and hopefully he does. And then you got to be thinking about it. I think, like, Booster Bob, he'll run a big race tomorrow, and the ground won't bother him. And he's not a bad yardstick. He's probably not grade one quality or maybe even grade two quality, but he's a pretty decent yardstick, and I don't think this horse is going to beat him by 25 lengths or anything like that. He'll give him a race.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. I think it's also very much worth bearing in mind, Nicky, there was a quote from Nicky Henderson in the Racing Post last week about that horse Jericho the Repenay, and it was something along the lines of, I have loads of horses who work just as well as him. Like, he was he was really trying to downplay things. And there is an enormous amount of hype. And then you look at Wilmount. He told the Racing Post for their stable tour, just before the jump season was kicking in, that he had gone out of his way to acquire the sister of this horse because he was so impressed with him. Now, that's hype. And yet this fella is a double-figure price for the Supreme, and Jericho de Rapinoe was, well, he was initially cut to fours, then pushed out to fives, and quietly edged back out to 8-1 because nobody was backing a horse at 4-1 at this time of the year for the Supreme Novice Hurdle. I think he'll have a
George
second.
George said he touched twos, didn't he?
Yes. I still can't confirm this. And I did have an odds compiler get in touch with me saying, what the hell is he talking about? Who was that? And can you tell me who the firm was? I don't know, but I don't doubt George. And given the way the betting industry has gone, who the hell knows what's going on? Let's talk about the Beecher Chase. We'll switch to entry for the first time. Before we talk about the race itself, a number of jockeys have expressed concerns about the lowering of the Grand National fences. They spoke with Matt Chapman. I think they wanted to remain anonymous. Nick Luck picked up on this. He contacted Aintree. They had indeed lowered the fences. The point that's been made by George and those jockeys to Matt Chapman is that the intention was to make the fences safer. Their view is that it's backfired because you're now able to jump the fences faster and horses are more inclined to go at a much speedier tempo over those fences. Is that what you're being hearing as well? And are you concerned about the lowering of the Grand National fences?
Yeah, I don't think it. I don't think it'll have the desired effect. I don't think that lowering the fences is going to make them any safer to jump. I think the speed involved is what causes the problems. And lowering fences just allows you to go faster down to them. The horses don't back off them as much and have as much of a look at them. I think we're bowing to the outsiders who don't really understand what we're doing. They don't understand racing. They don't understand the race itself. I hope they're right, but I don't think it will have the desired effect myself.
Yeah, I don't think so either. And I think it's pretty concerning that Matt's able to get those quotes from jockeys. Like, they're not going to say that to him unless they genuinely think it. I understand that everybody is just trying to do what they think is right. And everyone is trying to put in place the safest race possible. But that quote from Ted Walsh, where he said, if you don't like racing, go watch Peppa Pig. The substance of what he was saying gets lost. It's the quote after that that's really interesting. He said, you're pandering to people who don't care about racing and actually want it gone. And they won't be happy until it's gone. So I don't know what... I think it's very difficult to really look at the BHA now and say you're not pandering. The whip rules are all about optics. They're not about welfare. They're adamant. It's got nothing to do with welfare. It's about the perception of the sport and making it look better. That's not working. And it's not making people who are anti-whip suddenly flock to the races. There's no evidence that that's the case, nor is there any evidence it's making racing better. And lowering the fences, if we're going to keep reacting every time something bad happens in a Grand National, then if you keep making changes, you'll change it to the point that the race is unrecognizable or it no longer exists.
Yeah, that's the sad truth of it. And like you say, what Ted Walsh said, it's not that they want... The small changes we're making, they're not keeping anybody happy. They're certainly not keeping the racing industry happy, because we love this sport and we know what is best in this sport, and they're not keeping the people who want the sport gone, because like you said, these little changes aren't keeping them happy. They just want it gone altogether.
Yeah. Again, I understand everyone's trying to do what they think is the right thing, but you got to call that out when you see it. Even the dogs are annoyed. They're very annoyed at this lowering of the fences. All right. Betting for the Beecher Chase, Ashtown Lad, 4-1, the defending champion. Percussion for Laura Morgan and Harry Reid. They really are barking about this race. 6-1 shot. The big breakaway for Harry Cobden and Joe Tizzard, 8-1. Celeb Delen, best price 10s. And Coco Beach. Danny Gilligan keeps the ride, rightly so, after that brilliant victory in the Troy Town. Probably weighted to the gills, though, a 12-1 shot. What's your take on the race?
Well, Ashtown Lad couple of disappointing runs, but I'm sure he's going to be ready for Saturday. Like you say, last year's winner. He's pretty short at 4-1 for it, though, isn't he?
Yeah, I think so.
The big breakaway. I mean, he fell at the second in the national, wasn't it? The second, pretty sure.
I think so.
I think I like him. I like the big breakaway for this. A good run at Wincanton. He'll be coming here fit and ready. I'm a big fan of the big breakaway.
I love the fact that Harry Cobden's going to ride him. He's one of the best in the weighing room. He's one of the best on both sides of the RSC. And if he can get him into a good rhythm, he'll go real close. He'll love the ground as well. And he has the potential to land a big race like this. Like, it's there.
Yeah.
I was going through some of the stats for this. Three of the last five winners were making their debut over the Grand National fences. There used to be a mindset that you had to have experience of the big entry fences. That's not the case recently. But six of the last 16 winners had run in the previous Grand National, and lots of them had bombed out. They'd either been brought down, fell, pulled up. So it doesn't really matter what you've done as long as you've gone over those Grand National fences for some. And then for others, doesn't seem to matter if they have the experience at all. He'll love the ground. He should stay. There's a lot of upside to him.
I think the idea of them having to have a go over the fences was probably when the fences were what they were. I mean, that's the difference now, I think. I think you probably did need to have a spin over them. My first ever ride over the national fences, I can say this now because I'm retired, they were bigger in my day. but it's actually true. They definitely were. And so I think having the experience over them is something of the past, really.
Is there still a certain profile or an element about a racehorse that you're looking for to be suited to those fences? Or are they now just different looking, but almost the same as the conventional ones?
I mean, obviously you don't want to go out in something that's not a brilliant jumper. But Tiger Roll, he wasn't a brilliant jumper, was he?
No.
Nor was Pino de Rey. Like if you watch Pino de Rey, late Naspel getting Pino de Rey around there, and they were a bit bigger back then. But you want something that's looks after itself and is clever. You don't want anything too exuberant, probably, and you don't want anything that doesn't jump. So, I think it's becoming a race now where you can run most in. Yeah.
Yeah, I've come up with a horse at a big price. He does have a couple of letters in his form as opposed to... And to be fair, the big breakaway's got a few letters in his form as well.
He does.
But when he's good, Nigel Tristan Davis has won this race six times. Under supervision was initially a very, very interesting runner. But he has way more letters in his form than the horse that I'm going for. And that's the horse who beat him in the Virgin Bet Grinthorpe Handicap Chase back in March. And then followed that up by running an absolute blinder behind Kitty's Light in the Bet 365 Handicap Chase. And I don't think got the credit for it. And that's Mordor.
Yeah, I agree. I think he could run a huge race. I really do. 28-1. You wouldn't tell me what it was beforehand.
No.
I do agree with you. He went up £4 for finishing second to Kitty's Light. That was a really good performance. Has had a run under his belt. Yes, he pulled up, but I mean, he just will get there in a little bit better shape for that run, won't he?
Yeah, very much so. And with the greatest respect to these horses, Kitty's Light would lap this field. Like Kitty's Light's a really high class, proper staying chaser. Not grade one class, but really loves this kind of staying contest. He is on a career high mark. He's on 140, as you said. His win, I think, was 131 and then up to 136.
131.
And then up £4 after finishing second there. But he could improve for these fences. Possibly not in this day and age. There's an argument that he's better on good to soft ground, but he has run well on soft. He's won twice and placed four times on soft ground. He stays all day. He's won twice at this distance. You can get 33-1 about him.
Yeah. The ground up there will be lovely, though. I don't think that ground is going to be too soft. It tends to drain really well, and out on the national courses, it's different anyway. I don't think that ground will be too soft, so I wouldn't be so worried about that for him.
Turf Tracks are saying that the hurdle and chase track is both soft, good to soft in places. So backing up exactly what you're saying.
There you go.
Right, that's what I'm going to go for. 33-1 shot, Mordor. It'll be Moida in the betting ring if he goes and gets the job done for us. And you're going for the big breakaway, who was my second pick. I just, at 8-1, I can see him winning. I'm just not sure if I can trust them enough to part with cash, which almost certainly means he's going to win, considering I dismissed That's All Right Gino on the basis of stamina grounds and dismissed I Am Maximus because, well, Mark doesn't want to ride him and neither does Paul. So he's clearly got no chance. And that all blew up in my face last weekend.
Well, it tends to do that when we put our neck on the line.
Oh, man. Oh, that was
you say he's waited to the gills, but Coco Beach could put in a real big show.
He is. He's rated 162. 9 of the last 10 winners were rated no higher than 142. Now, that's just right. The stats, and it's just what's happened before. It doesn't mean that a horse like Coco Beach, who's in form, an Irish Grand National Trial winner, a Troy Town winner, just comes along and goes, I laugh at stats, and goes and does it.
Harry Cobden, absolutely. He rode in the National, just said he was the best spin around there. He pulled up before 2 out, I think, but he just absolutely loved him. The National 4 mile, whatever, 3 mile two, doesn't have as far to go. More weight in his back, but he's going there in a rich vein of form.
This reminds me of a quote from Eddie O'Leary, and Eddie might have been a bit mischievous with this one, but he was being asked about conflated for the Betfair. Not like Eddie would ever be mischievous. He was being asked about conflated going for the Betfair Chase, and he said, I'm paraphrasing, but it was something along the lines of, there's some good grade one staying prizes in Ireland, and we don't travel our horses to Britain outside of Cheltenham. Well, here's Giggins Town and Aintree for the Beecher. So maybe that's a tip in itself.
Well, maybe he fancies them too, yeah.
Yeah, possibly. A very interesting runner, particularly with the context of what you just said as well. He would need to beat the stats, but hey, there's no Norval on the show today, so fly.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Away. Right, Betfair Tinkle Creek, grade one, is John Bond, dominant favourite, 3-1 on favourite. Edward Stone, who knows? He's been declared for this. You were saying to me just before we started recording that given the fact that he's been declared here, you're leaning more towards Edward Stone lining up in the Tinkle Creek than in the Peterborough, which he's also been jocked up for.
Yeah, I think so. I can't see why he would have declared for this if he wasn't thinking of running them. It doesn't make any sense. He can see what's being declared. He can track them now and it wouldn't really make any sense to me for that.
Yeah, I agree.
Be the case.
A couple of horses who would need to step up but are interesting. Boot Hill for Johnny Burke and Harry Fry. Harry Fry's horses are going very well. 80% runners to form in the Racing Post. 14-1, Haddo Desobo, I think would have won the last day had he stood up. 16-1, and Nube Negra, John O'Neill Jr. riding a 25-1 shot. Is this just a spin round for John Bon?
Well, as Katie Young said, and she's hoping that he was softened up, I think she said. Was that the word she used at Cheltenham?
Yeah.
I'm not sure he's been softened up, really. Yeah, it's boring to say that the 130 on shot will win, but I think the 130 on shot will win.
Boo!
Oh, sorry. Sorry. Boot Hill was a lucky winner the last day at Ascot, wasn't he? The horse fell in front of him. And he's won his last two and he's looked really good, but he's got to take another step forward. And he could beat Edward Stone, maybe.
But yeah.
I don't think he could beat John Bunn. And I think, yeah, that's I think Edward Stone as well, though. I think John Bond was ridden. I don't think Tom Cannon expected John Bond to be ridden the way John Bond was ridden the last day, and therefore was left with a little bit of no man's land, and the race was over before he could do much about it. He certainly won't do that on Saturday.
So do you mean when Nico took the race up, when he went up and started pressing, he wasn't expecting him to do that?
Yeah. Mm. I just don't think he... It wouldn't have been the way John Bond would have been ridden to that point, would it, in his previous races, to be sort of really sent on like that.
Yeah.
I think it probably caught Tom a little bit unawares.
I mean, look, I'm struggling to find any reason to get him beaten. There's no logical reason he's beaten.
No.
Other than what Katie said. And I think it's a very, very interesting point that he's arguably had an unnecessarily hard race, and is that going to leave him a little bit softened up for the Tingle Creek? It might have been me who used the phrase softened up, by the way. But Katie was very concerned that it was an unnecessarily hard race that he had. Now, the other thing is, maybe he's just improved massively over the summer and the others regressed. And so, like, the speed figure he produced was massive compared to anything he'd done before. That would back up what Katie's saying, that's a massive performance. But maybe it's such a good performance because everything else just bombed and he's been able to go on and excel. Yeah. He's the fresher, younger horse coming into the division that really needs a bit of life injected into it. At the start of the season, and this is one of the things Gavin Lynch was saying, that podcast, by the way, available for you now, Gavin Lynch on the Final Front podcast. Really enjoy talking to him. But Gavin was making the point that we're often set in our ways where we already have our opinions made up. We've formulated our opinions about horses way too far out. And then when it comes to a race, you just have this battle-hardened opinion of, nah, he's going to need to go up and trip if he's going to go and win. And you're not being fluid and thinking about it rationally. And I would have been very much of the mindset, I'm pretty sure I did. I tipped John Bond for the Gold Cup. Or at least I suggested that would be, if he's going to win a Grade One, he's going to have to go out and trip because El Fabiolo will murder him. And if El Fabiolo is going to do that, well, so is an Ergamine. Then an Ergamine is ruled out for the season, and there's not really anything in Britain, so suddenly John Bond's ideal for 2 miles. And even Nicky, I went back over Nicky's interview with Lydia Hislop after the Schlurrer Chase. He kept saying about going up and trip, and that they were thinking about doing that, but looking around, there's nothing there, and he's pretty adamant he wasn't quite right in the Arkle Chase. I'm not having that, by the way. But he was keen to point out, it's 1-1, you know, we beat him at Aintree. So the only thing you can look at in this is, did he have too hard a race the last day? And is that going to catch him out? Just looking at his overall profile, courtesy of the Racing Post, he's 5 from 5 in the months of November, December. He's run 3 times on the back of a break of between 15 and 25 days. It's 20 days in this case. He's won all 3. He's won every single start, all 7 starts in fields of 5 or less. There's just not a whole lot there that you're clinging on to with one of his rivals. Maybe a horse like Hado de Sobo could be a good one for the forecast. Maybe. That was a big performance at Cheltenham the other day when he's fallen, but that's handicap company. Boot Hill, again, I think you're right. Like, he's won all 3 handicaps and he deserves his chance to step up into graded company, but he's flattered a number of times. And Edward Stone has entered for the Peterborough, and Alan King has talked about going for the King George. The fact that he's even in the race is interesting. That is intriguing that Edward Stone has been put in here. And you have to remember how visually impressive he was in this race last year.
Yeah, he was. Yeah, I mean, and obviously, I think he'll run because I think how impressive he was here at Sandown. The track, obviously, he loved the track and suited him, and he looked really good. I think you've got to. I can't see him running in the Peterborough Chase. I think you've got to go here. You've got to take John Bond on. Look, John Bond's won here as well, and impressive. But you've got to take him on somewhere that really suits you. You know,
there are some very shrewd people on X, formerly known as Twitter, who have been making the case that Edward Stone is a massive price at 50s in a wide open King George. And that price then got cut to 33s, and they've been making that case again. And now Alan King is like, actually, maybe we'll stick to 2 miles. That's going to break their hearts. Do you give him any chance in the King George?
Well, you sent me across that we were going to talk about that. And I sort of thought to myself, well, he's got a line. He's got to go for the Peterborough if he's going to go for the King George. And he hasn't. So that's made me think, well, the King George is now not in his mind. But then has he got any chance in the King George? The race would be run to suit, but the trip, he's tried 2.5 once, and he's finished 3rd, and I wouldn't say he didn't stay, but I think I'd like to have seen him at least run. If I was thinking about him for the King George, I'd like to have at least seen him run over 2.5 before stepping him from 2 straight up.
Yeah, it's quite a leap. I think we do remember
he could get placed because I think the race would be really run to suit him and he could pick up the pieces, but could he be good enough to win a King George? I'm not sure.
So because Kempton is a flat track and because Edouard Humblot and Tuchev fought out the finish way back in the day, 19 Dickety Doo, There's then this thought process from some people that, oh, you actually need a speedy horse stepping up and trip as opposed to a Darragh Stair. And that's why some people would be very much against Jerry Kalam. They think he would be awful around Kempton. I think he's got more pace than people give him credit for, personally. And I think he's the most likely winner of the King George if Gordon elects to bring him over. But it is a 3-mile chase. So just how much of an emphasis of stamina is there in the King George? And how much is that downplayed in favor of speed?
Oh, no, you've got to stay. It's a grade one. You've got, they go so hard early that you have to stay. You can't sustain that pace through the race if you don't stay. But if you are riding a horse to run well, the early pace allows you to get your horse switched off, relaxed, and then you will pass horses that haven't stayed. And you can look like you've stayed on, but you're staying on past beaten horses. But the best ones will not come back to you. You've got to stay for the King George.
That's a great show. I'm intrigued to see how that's going to pan out. But it does look as though he's going to go for the Dingle Creek, assuming it's on. Meanwhile, in Cork, John Bond's conqueror in the Arkell, El Fabiolo, will be out strutting his stuff in place of an Ergamine. He goes here. I would imagine Willie's thinking here. And then Dublin Racing Festival, although he might bring him, if he does go the Energamine route, maybe that means Clarence House Chase, irrespective of, I would imagine, 2 runs, which means that's probably why Captain Guinness did not run this weekend, because that grade one at Christmas time, the Paddy Power Tinder Chase, whatever they're calling it these days, that is just going to be, he'll be a long odds on favorite for that race. And it's a grade one and he deserves a grade one shot. Taking on John Bond. Yep. I think he would have been really interesting against John Bond, but it just makes much more sense to go for that race instead. El Fabiolo is in another league to this lot, but this is his first step out into open company. So what do you want to see from him in the Bar One Racing Hillyway Chase?
He step out into open company. It's a nice line to use to think about maybe there's something there that can get him beat. But I think the only thing that can beat him is himself, really. But I suppose the only thing I'd like to see him be a little bit more mature, a bit more respectful at an obstacle, and he just attacks them, and he's up good, but he makes the odd niggly mistake that stepping out into open company when he meets better horses may be more of a problem than it will be on Sunday. But I think I'd just like to see him put in a real clean round of jumping.
Okay, he should win this. He is miles clear of everything, and I don't think there's any need to dwell too much on the Hillyway Chase. Just it's nice to see El Fabiolo back in action. Briefly, in the Peterborough, if Edward Stone was rerouted to that race, number of interesting entries. Janadil is in there for Willie Mullins. Banbridge, I don't think he would like the ground, but it's interesting to see him entered. Anything intriguing to you?
Well, I kind of thought, I think I fell into the trap that I thought Edward Stone was going to go here, I think. And now he's not, so it sort of throws it out. Will Janadil come over?
Don't know. We could put in a call to Frankie Tightlips, but he's Frankie Tightlips for a reason, so I'm not sure if he would pass on the info.
Or which is going to come over? Because surely Fakir won't if
well,
Janadil does.
Yeah, you'd imagine so. I was just checking this out about Fakir de Dries, because there's obviously a thought process that he's much better in the spring. He's actually won 3 times at this time of year and has raced 6 times off the break of 60 days or more. This is 240. He's won 3 of those and placed twice. So maybe, and he'll like the ground. He's won on good to soft, he's won on soft, he's won on heavy. So maybe he's more likely to line up in this race. Janadil would be very, very interesting if he was brought over. He's a nice horse. He's a proper graded performer. He's chased home Alaho, so he's had a nice spin. He didn't really do a whole lot that day, to be honest about it. It was just a nice little spin round for him. But I'd imagine he would take an awful lot of beating if Willie decided to bring him over.
Yeah. I wouldn't disagree with that at all. I think if whichever one of them lines up, I think they're probably the one to beat out of the field. Solo is interesting.
Yeah,
beaten at Exeter, and then Alexei De Nuts went on and was impressive again last week. Paul's horses improve a little bit for the first run, maybe. I'm sure he was ready for Exeter, but entitled to say he improved a little bit for that.
Yeah, if Janadil didn't line up, Solo is the one I'd be most interested in. I just think that's all right. Gino form is there. And
yeah, exactly, yeah.
That looks a whole lot better now. He also has form with Thunder Rock, who beat Mahler Mission, and they've then fought out. That's all right, Gino and Mahler Mission have fought out. So he's the form reads well, and obviously Elixir then we did what he did. Maybe those defeats actually look better in hindsight, but Thunder Rock did murder him. I just don't know if he's a horse that you can trust all that much.
No, but probably not. But I mean, El Dancer, 10, First Flow, 11. My point is, if Fakia or Janadil don't run, what does beat him? Will Bam? Yeah.
Oh, that's a very good. Yeah, this race has fallen apart completely. Solo, nap at a week. Total turnaround. Yeah, it's not a. I suspect if one of the Irish horses comes over, they will win. It's just a matter of who.
Yeah.
Banbridge has won on soft ground, but he's much better on good to soft and good. And I don't know why you would bring him to this race on that ground. What are we looking at? Yeah, proper soft ground as well. That's a less than inspiring. I remember this race when Jarda Koshe was taking on Best Mate.
It's kind of
fallen a little bit since then, since those days. The 2-mile-4 Tote Navan Novice Hurdle. This is on the Saturday. See Slate Steel take on Stellar Story, take on Better Days Ahead, Leckie Watson, and Ballystone's in there for the good old prize money. Why not? Apologies to his connections. I'm sure he'll run a nice race. Look, this is, I'd imagine this was a tricky enough one for Jack to decide, because Better Days Ahead was really impressive at Ferry House 2 weeks ago. I like Stellar Story an awful lot. I was surprisingly confident about this horse in a bumper on New Year's Day when I was hanging out with Shark Hanlon, hosting an event called the Welly Race, which is literally a marathon run in wellies.
In Welly. Right, okay. Where was this?
In Castlecomer, my hometown of Castlecomer in Kilkenny. There's thousands of people turn up. A couple of hundred take part in it. And it was a marathon of another kind for the Shark, because he was the absolute VIP celebrity. There's a parade that goes on, and people were trying to win his affection by dressing up in all kinds of different horse racing outfits and all kinds of different horse racing gear. What a character, by the way. An absolute gentleman. I remember being ridiculously bullish that Stellar Story was going to win that bumper. He did. I remember thinking, this Il Atlantique doesn't find a whole lot off the bridle. And Stellar Story will duff him up as well. And he did. And then he's gone and beaten Largy Hill in his hurdling debut. I really like this horse. I like pretty much everything in this race. Slade Steel is very exciting horse going forward. Better Days Ahead recovered from that fall on hurdling debut in Down Royal to go and win at Ferry House. And Leckie Watson, I wouldn't be as keen on. He fell in the other day. but Stellar Story, I think 2-1 about him might prove to be a little bit too big. And he's probably the one I would side with. But I'm sure it was a tricky enough one for Jack to decide between him and Better Days Ahead.
I slightly disagree.
Let's go. Let's go.
Well, no, but Better Days Ahead for me wants 3 mile, and Stellar Story wants 2.5. Or you'd quicker drop Stellar Story down in trip and Better Days Ahead up in trip from 2.5, and therefore the option I think it was pretty easy for Jack.
That's a good point.
If I had to choose, without sitting in the horses, just by seeing their races and looking through the form, I would have picked Stellar Stays Ahead.
Yeah, to be fair, Better Days Ahead is...
Stellar Story over Better Days Ahead, yeah. I think Better Days Ahead wants a trip.
Yeah, Better Days Ahead is much more of a potato racehorse, Albert Bartlett, than Stellar Story, who's much more of a Ballymore type. As for Slade Steele, he beat King of Kingsfield, who is an absolute monkey. I mean, even Gordon and Jack have said, if there's any horse in front of you that you want to chase down, it's him. You want him out in front because you will get him. That being said, he did finish second in a Grade 1 the other day, so that's a nice boost to Slade Steele's form. Who do you think is the most likely winner of this? And follow up, who do you think is the better long-term prospect?
I probably think Stellar Story. I agree with you. Yeah, for me, they're going to go for Better Days Ahead. The Stellar Story are going to go for different races. Come the festival, and I think the better of the two for me, probably going to come out to be Stellar Story.
It's a good race, this, and it's proved to be a good race over the years as well. William Mullins has won it with Briar Hill, Next Destination, and his stable Superstar, the winning most horse in Cool Sutton, Easy Game, who would win the Gold Cup if it wasn't for the fact that the Easy Game, best horse William Mullins trains. Winning most horse in his yard is Easy Game. There's one. There's one for the Final Furlong Podcast Christmas quiz, which I've now completely given away. He has 18 wins to his name, including, I think it's three of those Goran Park races where he beat Envoy Len and Gentleman's Game, who everyone's now talking about as a potential Gold Cup horse. Well, he murdered him at Goran Park. He just needs everything to fall right and the ground to be right. Not that I'm deluding myself at all here. I'm all over Stellar Story. Gordon has won this race with No More Heroes, Death Duty, and Jinto. I thought the world of Jinto, the poor old fella. In the Pocket took this for Henry de Bromhead last year. So it's a race they like to win, and they've won it with good horses in the past. Whichever one wins it is a horse to very much follow, but I'd be keeping a very close eye on those in behind as well. That's going to be a very informative race. As will the Cork race the next day, the 3 mile Singleton Super Value, Stairs, Novice Hurdle, Grade 3. We're probably going to see Crow Park in here. And it was a Gordon Elliott dominated race at the Navan Festival of Racing. They sent him off odds on. He beats Mel Munro, who'd run well at Cheltenham before that. And with the greatest of respect to everything else in this race, he'll win this.
Yeah, there's a lot of... There's a lot of summer form, as I would say, with elevated ratings, which sort of on paper look like they might take him on. But yeah, I think he looks the standout, really, doesn't he?
Yeah, I would think so. All right, who is your best bet of the weekend, William Kennedy?
Constitution Hill.
However, did you crack that code? What a tip!
As my first go on the Final Furlong podcast, I thought I might get a winner, leave with a winner maybe. We didn't actually talk about the novice chase at Sandown, and I really JPR won.
Oh wait,
really,
that's because I'm a dum dum. That's because I'm a complete and total idiot. And skip the race, ridiculously so. So let's talk about the Betfair Henry VIII Novices Chase, because this is a fascinating race. Well done. Well done. You've bailed me out there. And this is a good betting race as well, by the way.
Sorry.
Gavin, no, you're right. On the day where justice for Gavin Sheehan is done, vindication, his name cleared. That was an absolute farce to do that to him. And I'm delighted to see that that's all been cleared up now and that he's free to continue riding. Utter madness that was. Colonel Harry, Ico, JPR1, who was desperately unlucky at Cheltenham the other day. Le Patrion, Petit Tonnier, and Unexpected Party. The betting should be there, but it's not coming up because my internet is absolutely appallingly bad. Who do you like in the race?
I like JPR1. I think he wins. He is still a favourite. Boring. But he's my bet. I love the way he went through the race the last day, and he was actually so clever at the last was the reason he made the mistake and came down. He was so good with his front feet to not actually brush through the top of the fence that he shortened with his front feet, his front half slowed down, his back half then came past him on landing, and he just knuckled over, and it went, unseated rider, slightly harsh.
Oh, poor old Brendan. Desperately harsh.
But the way he jumped through that race was just impeccable, and that was a 1 in 100 mistake that he was really unlucky to not get away with.
It reminded me an awful lot of Galopin Deschamps' fall in the Turners.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is still one I haven't fully recovered from, by the way. He jumps it perfectly. It's all over, and the landing gear just doesn't come out properly. How much of a concern is it, though? Like, it is still a fall. How much of a concern is that going into a grade one?
No, it's not. Wouldn't be a concern for me. No, he didn't. The horse didn't. It was an unseat, and so it was. Although it was harsh on Brendan, it was an unseat. The horse hasn't. Shoulder hasn't gone down. He hasn't turned over. I don't think it will have any effect on him whatsoever. And I'm sure he'll have schooled this week one day and had a little pop over a couple of fences just to get his eye in. But no, that won't be a problem for me.
So I was very bullish about JPR1 this morning. Then I went through the race replays and drilled into the numbers, and I've completely overcomplicated things, which means I'm probably going to end up smacking myself in the face and saying, why didn't you just stick with the obvious one? I'm really interested in Unexpected Party.
Yeah, I would agree with you there. I can't put you off that at all. I thought it was a really decent run at Cheltenham the last day. And this is definitely less competitive. I think he will put up a big show. What is he, 4 or 5 to 1?
Yeah, the fives is gone, which is annoying me. I wouldn't want to be taking much less than the fours. I really wouldn't want to take, like, even if he went 7 to 2, I think I'd switch back to JPR1 pretty quickly. But if he stays at that price, 2 miles on soft ground just seems ideal for him. He was a really good, like, he ran some very good races last year, including against That's All Right Gino at the Scottish Grand National meeting at Ayr, and you know, that's all right. Gino form is looking pretty good now. Stage Star has kicked him into touch a number of times. They backed him into 5 to 1 second favorite for the Paddy Power Gold Cup. That takes some doing.
Yeah.
And now they're deciding to drop him back in trip, line up in a grade one. Kieran Gethings takes over for the suspended Harry Skelton. That's a great booking. Kieran's a terrific jockey. Bowl along out in front and try and turn it. Like, he has stamina, but he's got plenty of pace as well. He doesn't win that often, but this is a winnable race. I think the Paul Nicholls horse, he's better fresh, and I don't see why you turned the form around with JPR1. I'm sure there was something wrong that day. I know there was.
Yeah, something. He bombed out. I was actually down there that day, and he looked really comfortable for half of the race, and he within 5 strides, he was just cooked.
Yeah. Yeah, it was odd the way he just kind of came to a standstill. I was covering Colonel Harry's race for TalkSport 2 with Lee McKenzie, and I really liked that performance. He's beaten... The race has fallen apart in that Tamaris just never went a yard that day. He jumped awfully. And Evan Williams, out of office, was given a great spin by Adam Wedge because he desperately needed a confidence boost after a brutal fall at the first fence on his chasing debut. And Adam got a great tune out of him. But the second Gavin looms up alongside him, it's game over. It's all about Colonel Harry from that point on, and you knew he was going to go and win. I'm sure he's going to win a nice race. I don't think it'll be this weekend, though.
No, I agree. I think Jamie's horses are in fantastic form in the moment as well, and he's. I mean, I think pretty much every one of his horses is upgrading their form, and I think this horse has looked really good. And there's a race somewhere along the line for him, but I'm kind of with you. I think he's flattered to be second favourite in this.
Yeah, I agree. So your nap is Constitution. The nap is JPR1. I'm liking that.
Yeah, I really like him. I hope he puts in a good performance and wins after what happened at Cheltenham. I think it was really unlucky.
I it's possible I've completely overthought this and I'm throwing away a winner, but unexpected party for me. And my nap is Mordor. 33-1 is available. Man. Let's go. Let's swing for the fences and let's go. I will be insufferable bragging on Monday show with Katie and George, or I will just be eating humble pie. It's still the sour taste of it in my mouth and also probably feeling the effects of having a post-JPR one. Really enjoyed this, William. Really enjoyed this.
Yeah, thank you very much.
This is something you should be doing an awful lot more of. Your analysis is fantastic and I hope you're going to be doing a lot more, and hopefully we'll have you on the show again very, very soon as well. The Christmas previews are coming up, you know. Christmas previews are coming up, William, yeah. So we'll be talking to you about that as well. But thoroughly enjoyed getting your insight. Looking forward to talking to you again soon.
Brilliant. Thank you, Emmett. Look forward to the next day.
And thank you for listening to the Final Furlong Podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, 5-star rating on your podcast app. I know we say this in every episode, but it really does help with the algorithm. And you've got plenty of more great content, including the episode with Gavin Lynch. Some real pearls of wisdom in there about the novice hurdlers, chasers for the season, championship horses to be looking out for as well. Some great stuff there with Gavin, and that is available for you now beneath this episode on your podcast feed. We'll talk to you again very, very soon on the Final Furlong Podcast. Look after yourself and each other. God bless.